Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm going to this battle, take my union gun. Gonna end this world of slavery, for this war is one you're bound to lose. Are you fascist or bound?
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, President Obama has nominated Merrick Garland to fill the open Supreme Court seat today, calling him one of America's sharpest legal minds and stating that Mr. Garland deserves a full hearing and a Senate confirmation vote. Now, in response to that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell immediately announced in a crossed arms, foot stomping kind of way, no. We're not doing anything, so basically screw you. So the question I have is, who is Merrick Garland? And for that, I turn to our friend Ian Millhiser, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and also the editor of Think Progress Justice. Ian, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
So who is this guy, Merrick Garland? I got to be honest, was not on the radar.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's not a famous name outside of elite legal circles, but he is extraordinarily prominent in the legal community. I mean, I remember when I was in law school and I was applying to clerkships for various judges, and a Garland clerkship was considered to be one of the biggest prizes you could get. It almost guaranteed that you'd get to spend a tour on the Supreme, or you'd get to be a Supreme Court clerk afterwards. He's, you know, widely regarded as brilliant. He's been there a long time, and and the D.C. Circuit handles really interesting and really difficult cases. So, you know, there's no question, if you're just solely judging someone based upon their qualifications to do the job, that President Obama hit a home run here. And I think that was a big part of his goal, was try to box the Republicans in by picking someone that everyone would say, wow, well, you know, of course this guy is capable of being a Supreme Court justice.
Now, I'm sure you've seen, as I have, that we're seeing from the right and the left, folks not really thrilled with it. And I got to be honest, right, I don't know anything about Merrick Garland. Yeah. I don't know where he would stand on it, the issues that I think are important. But I found it interesting that both the right and left don't seem to be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, well, the most disappointing thing about Garland is his age. You know, he's 63 years old, and that means that he would serve, you know, he'll probably serve less if he is confirmed to the Supreme Court, less time than if he was younger. And, you know, often people, you know, presidents like to pick younger people, their supporters like younger justices because they get more years of service out of them. So that's not something you would get from Garland. You know, there are a lot of people who are also hoping the president would diversify the court more, and Garland's a white male. In terms of his record, you know, Garland belongs to a flavor of, like, you know, subscribes to a kind of liberal jurisprudence where, you know, he is to the left of center, but I think he also is very skeptical of the court doing too much. And that means on criminal justice issues, he tends to be fairly conservative because, you know, generally when courts intervene in criminal justice cases, it's because they're overruling a conviction or they're doing something to a defendant's benefit. It means that on a lot of other issues, you know, he's not going to vote to screw over unions in the Friedrichs case. That strikes me as very unlikely. He's not going to strike down the Affordable Care Act. He's not going to sign on to all of these increasingly ambitious theories to dismantle eight federal agencies and their ability to regulate businesses. So I think that he's a guy where, if you're confident that your party can win elections, you'll be very happy with him as the Supreme Court justice because he's going to allow the democratic process to work. I think that he's also going to be someone where, you know, if you feel like you need the court to intervene to get something, he is probably not going to be your guy.
And that's honestly, that's the least I can ask for, because I'm growing more and more concerned about how our court, you know, to steal the conservative frame of activist judges, I'm growing more and more concerned that our Supreme Court is gaining way too much power.
Right. You know, and compared to, like, the horror that I have lived in for the last 7 years, every time the Supreme Court was handing down opinions, I mean, a Justice Garland would be a breath of fresh air. I mean, what he will do at the very least is stop the bleeding. You know, if he gets in there, it means that this drumbeat of cases moving things further and further to the right will stop.
And I would have to argue probably even more so than at the Supreme Court level, all of the down court levels, a lot of the insane cases that are being brought might slow as well.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, even if you have a very conservative lower court judge, judges typically don't like being reversed, and they know that if the center of gravity is shifted on the Supreme Court, you know, they have to rethink things as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, if you believe that, you know, you're going to be holding a strong hand in the next election, if you think that the next president's going to do a good job, then I think that Garland is someone who is going to step back and let that president do a good job. I think that if you're looking for the courts to bail you out, or if you're looking to emulate what the right strategy was for the last 7 years of trying to use the courts to implement an agenda, you know, again, he's not your man.
So what are the chances of Merrick Garland making it out of the confirmation process in one piece? Because I got to be honest, I wouldn't want to be him because
right.
I think you've had a number of senators who've already said they're gonna treat him like a pinata. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean his chances are pretty grim, to be honest. I mean, so long as you know the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that he won't even meet with the nominee, no matter who the nominee is. I think 30 senators came out after Garland was announced and reiterated that, you know, we will not meet him in a box. We will not meet him with a fox. I mean, just, you know, as blank as a statement as they could, that they do not want to see this guy confirmed, and they want to wait and let the next president do it. So, you know, he has a tough road ahead. I could see circumstances where he does get confirmed. You know, if it's September and Hillary Clinton is up 20 points over Donald Trump, and first of all, it doesn't look like the Republicans are going, you know, by blocking this nominee, they're going to be able to get a president they like more. And second of all, they're in the position of trying to argue that whoever Donald Trump will pick is a better choice than Merrick Garland. You know, I could see under those circumstances, it's possible that some of them start to waver. But I think we need to be realistic that, you know, he's got a tough road ahead of him.
Yeah, but this is a guy who's gone through a tough road before, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a guy who, you don't get to where he is unless you know how to stick to things. You know, I mean, Obama, when he introduced Garland, talked about Garland's work as in charge of prosecuting, I think it was the Oklahoma City bomber.
Right.
And so, like, you know, he understands that, like, you take on a big project, there's a lot of work, and it's not, you know, and sometimes people come at you. You know, I think he knows what he signed up for. But like you said, I don't envy him right now because, you know, groups are already amassing Oppo research. There's one particularly nasty group that's planning to run $2 million in ads attacking him. And, you know, I mean, he's not particularly attackable, but that's what they're going to do.
Well, let me ask you the other side of that then, because, you know, this is an election year,
right.
and like the double-edged sword that it can be, you've got a chance for the Democrats to take back the Senate in making this really an election year issue, because this is a very moderate guy, from what I understand, someone
right.
who I understand Republicans in the past would have been happy to support.
Right, yeah, and that's why, you know, a year from now, these guys could look really stupid. Because a year from now, they could have refused to confirm Garland, and President Clinton could come in and appoint someone who's 15 years younger and more liberal. And that's what they've accomplished. Instead of having a 63-year-old moderate, they now have they now have a 49-year-old who's inclined to do a lot of stuff that they really don't like. So, you know, they're taking a risk here, too. And, you know, ultimately, they're not just, you know, taking a risk with the short-term politics. I mean, I think they're really taking a risk with the legitimacy of the Supreme Court moving forward. because, I mean, Garland, you know, if you had told me that, like, Obama was going to sit down with Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Chair, and they were going to come to a compromise and ask me, like, who I thought would be the most acceptable compromise, the name I would have picked immediately would have been Merrick Garland. He's the obvious choice. And if even he can't be confirmed, I tell you what's going to happen the next time that Republicans control the White House and Democrats control the Senate. Democrats are going to retaliate.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to confirm. Yeah, and like we're just going to have vacant seats on the Supreme Court that sit there for years at a time.
Nothing good comes out of this, as far as I see it. And looking at this, you know, the hope then becomes, you know, is this that political issue that that eventually backfires in their face, and maybe we come to some bit of sanity? Because I'm looking at this guy, and from what I originally read, a very moderate, very centrist kind of guy, I'm thinking the president's thinking political, you know, they're just playing the political chess, knowing they're not going to confirm anyone, doesn't matter who. And you're just throwing somebody out there who everybody should be on board with and using it as a political issue. But then there's the other side of me, and this is the one I'm kind of thoughtful of. Is this the president kind of saying we need to restore some moderation? We don't want a left-wing Scalia being on the court so much either. I'm curious where your thoughts on.
Well, you know, Garland, you know, I've been thinking all day about this nomination, and Garland is who Obama's, it's not just who he told us that he would pick a few weeks ago. I mean, if you look at how he described his nominee, but it's who he's been saying for years he wants. I mean, Obama, in one of his books, talked about how liberals, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, we sometimes asked the courts for too much, and it caused us to lose our faith in democracy, and that was something that was hurtful. And that, you know, he believes that a judge's role is, you know, is important but limited. You know, I mean, they should enforce the rights that are in the Constitution. They should protect people from discrimination. They should make sure that women and racial minorities and sexual minorities have the same chance to participate. And they should make sure that our democracy works so that we don't have laws being passed to rig elections. But we don't want, you know, Obama has been saying for a long time, we want the courts to take a step back from our lives and allow democracy to function. And, you know, Merrick Garland is very much in line with what Obama's been saying he wants.
So last question I've got for you. Is your opinion, is this a good choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fine choice. I mean, like I said, I wish he was 15 years younger because time of service matters. And, you know, I wish he was more liberal on criminal justice, but I agree with, you know, his, you know, restrained approach to the judiciary overall. I think he'll be a fine justice. You know, my biggest concern is that we get him confirmed, and I would want him to be there for 30 years and not 10.
Yeah, good point. Well, we will see how this plays out. I'm really interested to see where the senators who are up for election this November, like our senator here, Pat Toomey, how they respond. Toomey tweeted out today that he still was not in favor of confirming, but he was gonna go through the motions at least.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see how other states and those senators end up dealing with this, and how many of them get ousted because of it.
Yeah, no, and the other thing that will be interesting is whether or not this gets them blamed, or like they blame this if they do get ousted. You know, it's not just important to, you know, to see who wins the election and for each party to try to influence it, but like if Toomey loses and Republicans think that the reason he lost, or at least a contributing factor, is the blockade on Merrick Garland, then I think that could do a lot to help normalize our politics around the Supreme Court, because senators won't want to play this game again if they think that they'll get blowback for it.
Well, that is the hope. But Ian, I appreciate you taking time. I know you got a busy day. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Always great talking to you. Ian Millhiser, senior fellow over at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, also the editor of Think Progress Justice. We've got links at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Ow! As long as we can live in harmony,
why can't we be friends?
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.